This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill and I'm Giri Balakrishnan. In 2017, Malaysia was ranked number one in the world by International Living, a magazine which is a resource for retiring, living and investing overseas, for quality and standard of medical care. This has acted as a strong magnet for medical tourism and is one of the drivers of the rising number of new private hospitals in Malaysia. However, Malaysia's caretaker public healthcare system seems to be attracting a completely different review, with complaints ranging from overconsumption of services, deteriorating standards of care, and very long waiting times. With us today is Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. He will give us an insight into how a blend of the private and public healthcare sector will provide Malaysians with an opportunity to receive comprehensive and seamless medical care without compromising on quality or carrying the full burden of rapidly rising healthcare costs. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kuljit.
Thank you.
Dr., you have been exposed to both the public and private sector in your career as an ENT specialist. In your opinion, what are the major deficiencies that contribute to the disparity in the provision of healthcare services between the public and private healthcare sector?
Well, thank you, Giri. First and foremost, we in Malaysia, we have been brought up in a society which accepts the fact that we have got a public sector that looks after you for almost free. That perception has been there for the last 60 years since we have got our independence. Now, private sector has come up probably the last 20, 25 years in a big way. So the feeling of a Malaysian that, you know, private sector is actually expensive and it is meant for people who have got the money or you have good insurance coverage. And whereas in the public sector, which is fantastic, I would say, it comes with a small amount of payment, ₱1, and you see a doctor and you get almost everything with that. So we have gone to a level where the disparity has become pretty wide. But having said that, the public sector in Malaysia, fortunately, we are actually quite good. The only thing is you have to wait, the long waiting period of time. Imagine in Kuala Lumpur, you have about 5 public hospitals, which you don't have in many other cities. Full-fledged public hospitals, Serdang, Selayang, HKL, Sungai Buloh, and 2 public universities. People have a choice. It is a citizen's right to get free health care from these centres. But having said that, public sector hospitals, the maintenance is pretty high. Government spends billions to run those hospitals and is usually taken for granted. People don't see that to maintain a patient in a public sector hospital, it might be even more expensive than having a patient in the private sector.
One of the areas that we're looking at is comparing the working environment and management of patients. What are the key areas that you believe need to be addressed to bridge the gap between the two sectors?
I think the quality of care, I would say that in the government sector, it is as good. Once you get to see a doctor, the treatment, the medication, the equipment, what you have in the government sector is as good as what you find in the private sector.
Not. Part of the perception that the quality of service that is being provided by the public hospitals is because of this extended or long waiting period.
And
that is primarily because of the numbers of traffic in public hospitals.
Yeah.
So the government has actually embarked on setting up smaller unit like general practitioners in the name of Clinic One Malaysia since 2010 to try and or to attempt to reduce the kind of traffic which goes into public hospitals. How effective do you think this has been?
Personally, I think it doesn't really reduce the traffic, in my personal opinion, because the Clinic One Malaysia has got very limited service that can be provided. But whether there is a reduce in congestion in the public hospital, I sincerely doubt. But if you have a Klinik Kesihatan, Klinik Kesihatan is a full-fledged clinic which has got the entire gamut of treatment that you can do in a Klinik Kesihatan, equipped with a lab, with a doctor, with an X-ray facility, and with many more nurses than what you have in One Malaysia clinic. I think that would be probably a better way of doing it.
Yeah, because a common complaint with the One Malaysia clinics is that, you know, the sick are usually attended to by assistant medical officers and not even doctors. So the focus now has shifted to redirecting this level of healthcare, the primary level, to the private sector. Can you explain how this is being implemented and to what extent?
I think the implementation of restructuring the One Malaysia clinic and then looking at giving to the private sector, it is still not firm. In MMA, when I was in MMA, this discussion has been going on for the last 15, 20 years. But nothing constructive has actually come out of this discussion. End of the day, it's a question of cost. If you want to shift anything to the private, there is a cost to it, and the payments, you cannot give free service in a private setting. Is the government committed enough to fund, in addition to what they're funding in their own hospitals, for these patients to go to private settings, and the government pays for the services, but in a very ad hoc manner? It is not something which is engraved in stone that, well, this is how we're going to do it. For example, private hospitals have CT scan machines, they have MRI machines that in some hospitals, in private hospitals, they will only function for a certain number of hours and then they're idle. Whereas in the government hospital, these machines are running overtime, right up to 11, 12, 1 in the morning. They are constantly, because and with that, they still cannot finish the load of patients that they need to see, and hence patients have to wait weeks and months to get an appointment. So answering your question, whether that it is still not very firm.
So the structure and parameters haven't really been nailed down to yes. create a holistic system where yes. we can have yes. that kind of. Yeah. So Pakatan Harapan has promised voters to provide a national healthcare assistance initiative. I think we've seen this being kicked off with a Peduli Sehat program for families which fall within the B40 category in the state of Selangor. Can you explain the workings of this initiative and from the private sector's perspective?
We welcome. We like this kind of initiative whereby the government has taken an active step in promoting healthcare and giving this kind of coverage where, if I understand it correctly, patients will be subjected to get a card, a medical card. But our worry is they should be very careful, because if you have a medical card for a family, which the limit is about 30,000, for example, that will not cover anything in a private setting. God forbid one member of that family falls ill, gets into ICU in a private setting, the 30,000 will be wiped out in a very quick manner. And then there will be problems transferring them, the patient then, to a public setting and all that. So the idea is good. The idea is fantastic. But it has to be really looked into. The type of coverage and the type of money that the patient is going to come out with monthly, and then what he's going to get out of it. It shouldn't be a kind of situation that patients are stuck. They believe they have a medical card, but the medical card is actually not going to be so comprehensive. Maybe you can go in for dengue for 2-3 days or 1 week treatment, and that will cover nothing more than that.
In your opinion, how can this model be improved upon and potentially replicated nationwide for all Malaysians and not just a certain socioeconomic category, like, you know, we spoke about the B40 earlier?
In order to make this thing successful, it has to be across the board that every citizen will have to get into this program by compulsion. If you do not do that, I don't see how there will be enough of funds to get this program running. It might have worked well in Selangor. Maybe there's a small cohort of patients. We're talking nationwide. When you go nationwide, we have got other states which may not be as affluent as Selangor. So if you just look at one group, then you may not have enough of fundings to run the program. You need to have the healthier ones to contribute, the less fortunate ones or the ones a little bit more sick. So, you know, it works that way. The healthier ones will actually pay for the...
A sort of subsidy or subsidizing.
Yes, in that manner. But otherwise, it's going to be very difficult.
And we'll come to that choice of whether it's going to be something which is going to be mandatory or, you know, a choice a little bit later. Now, what we have spoken of thus far relates to primary healthcare and management of chronic illnesses. What plans are there for the private healthcare sector to blend with the public sector in providing tertiary medical care?
I think there should be a good referral system. Today, if you go to a public hospital for diabetes and hypertension, and then if you then migrate to the private sector, private hospital, it becomes very difficult at a later stage to actually go back to the public for treatment. So there's a little bit of gap that we need to make sure that is seamless. That's number one. And then number two, the public and the private hospitals, they work quite separately. So, for example, if a patient has got diabetes and he's been treated in a particular hospital, then there is no way the records of that particular patient, you know, diabetes has been probably treated for the last 10 years. You have the HbA1c record, you get all the blood records. That is not cannot be migrated completely to a new doctor in the private, and vice versa.
So what you're suggesting is there needs to be an effort put into building a medical database to cover every citizen of Malaysia so the information can be exchanged between the public and private sector. Yeah. But has that initiative been looked at? Has it been started?
It has been discussed, but I don't see it happening. For example, I sit in a private hospital and a patient has undergone a scan or an x-ray in the government hospital. When they come over to a private hospital, they are not allowed to have their scans with them and we have to redo the scans all over again. There's a reason why the government does it, because it is paid by the government and they feel that property, that particular scan is actually they are the stakeholders to it, and the patients probably will lose it and may not have it. So that's the reason there. It is an old archival way of thinking that, you know, we will keep your records. But I think patients should have access to their medical records, even if they are if seen the doctor in the public sector. Now, if that doesn't happen, the sharing of information with the public and private, then you just can't have this.
With us on The Breakfast Grill is Dato' Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Next up, we discuss how a national medical insurance scheme may help create a collaborative relationship between the public and private healthcare sector and potentially lighten the burden on public hospitals. Stay tuned for that right here on BFM 89.9, the Business Channel.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to the Breakfast Grill and I'm Giri Balakrishnan. With us today is Dr. Kuljit, President of Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Dato, the government has emphasized the need for a revamp of the national healthcare industry. And one area of focus is the introduction of a national healthcare insurance scheme. Recently, Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lee Boon Chye said the ministry is planning to propose an insurance protection scheme to be tabled in Parliament during the 2019 budget. This echoes a suggestion by former Health Director General Tan Sri Dr. Mohamed Ismail Merican to introduce a mandatory health insurance scheme rather than a voluntary health insurance scheme. What are your thoughts on this proposal and potential cost implications for the citizen?
Mandatory will be the way to go, because if you go in into a voluntary scheme, patients will have choice. They will say, okay, I can always go to my own choice of insurance. There are so many out there. And the voluntary, sometimes it just falls off and then the whole program doesn't take off because you may not have enough of takers. Of course, the voluntary scheme, I believe the premiums will be much lower than what you get a commercial medical card. But the numbers are important. If you cannot get the numbers, then the entire program is not going to work. And the coverage has to be substantial. If you're really looking at private hospitals, then the coverage has to be substantial, not just a family. It should be individualized because a catastrophe can always occur to one member of the family and then wipes up the whole thing. I think they need to do a lot of profiling of every citizen that they have, what kind of conditions that they live in, what kind of the whole insurance way of giving cards. And
let's look at an example. See, as an ENT surgeon, how do you think an initiative such as this, where you have a national health insurance program, which is basically for the whole nation, how can this aid in providing quality health care to patients with, say, for example, an ENT ailment?
Well, sometimes when a patient has got an ENT thing, because many people will regard that some of the ENT conditions are not of an emergency. So if you want to get yourself treated quickly, and some of the ENT treatment takes time, for example, sinusitis or allergic rhinitis, it takes a long time to actually get yourself a lot of follow-ups. If you're going to do follow-ups in the government sector, it's going to take long follow-ups, long waiting time. You only get to see a doctor probably in 2 months, 3 months to see a specialist. We have a medical card. You have a national, your patient has got a choice to walk into any available hospital, let it be private or public, the first available appointment that he can see. So if you cannot get in hospital A, you can go to hospital B. The first available appointment, the first available ENT doctor, you'll be able to see and you get your treatment. So I think that's very good if you can a system that works out in that manner. So definitely the crowd that goes to the government sector will be reduced. Having said that, you will still have patients who cannot afford to pay even a premium for a medical card. Those are the patients that will have to go to the government sector. So that's why the profiling of patients are important. Profiling of the citizens are important. Whether this particular person will be exempted from a medical card or from this particular finance, the government will have to pay for them. So they go to those public hospitals for treatment.
It sounds like what you're suggesting is there would be a two-tier system. But this sounds to be a little bit difficult to comprehend from the perspective of provision of these services. See, for example, from a cost implications perspective, tonsillectomy would cost maybe up to a few hundred ringgit in a public hospital, but the same will cost approximately, about 10,000 ringgit in a private hospital. How do you think they can bridge this disparity in costing if they were to provide a service like this?
Okay. It doesn't cost, on paper, it costs 100 ringgit in a government hospital, but actually it will cost probably at around the same amount if you really sit down and calculate, because whatever a public hospital buys is from the same vendor, from the same distributor. But of course, they sometimes buy it at a different cost. So I think all of this, you know, the insurance companies are quite matured in this. As I said earlier, that the cost can be actually covered, provided the individual patient, whoever buys the card, the premiums are actually tailor-made to a particular...
The suggestion that has been made to provide national insurance of up to 20,000 ringgit per family, and this is, we're talking an average size of, it's actually an average size of 4.3 per family in Malaysia, but 20,000 ringgit for the entire family, if you're going to...
It's not enough.
It's insufficient coverage because there was a medical catastrophe with one member. It will easily eat up that value that is provided. But do you see that as being a natural movement from getting from a private hospital and being transferred to a public hospital where the service will be continued at the same level?
Okay, that's where the issues lie today. If I have a patient in an ICU in a private hospital and suddenly the patient, even today in a normal insurance card, he has busted his 100,000, for example, it becomes very difficult at that point of time to go and look for an ICU bed in any of the government hospital. It becomes very difficult to actually transfer a patient to a government facility at that point of time. That arrangement becomes tough. So it becomes unfair to the patient. And it also becomes unfair to the private hospital. No, private hospital is now running at a loss now, having the patient in the thing. But of course, they will take the loss sometimes because you have to do something with the patient. So that's where if this private and public arrangement that needs to be done, these things need to be done quite seamlessly. If this is not seamless, then it's going to be difficult. You're going to have patients stuck in the private hospitals and, both parties are going to have difficulties.
Another area that has been of some concern to the public, there seems to be a flow of specialists and good quality treatment heading towards the private sector, effectively, you're talking about a brain drain. Typically, a specialist in government service for 5 years earns in the region of 15,000 ringgit a month. But in the private sector, the same specialist can easily command about 50,000 ringgit a month. So how do you see this dichotomy being brought together?
First and foremost, the government has to make initiative to restructure public hospitals. What is restructuring? Like in Singapore, they have restructured it pretty well. A government hospital should be restructured in a manner whereby you have got these full-paying patients, which they're trying to do, but it is not as successful as it should be. They've got full-paying patients, subsidized patients, and then totally free patients. So in Singapore, I can give you an example in Singapore. A private doctor and a public specialist, a public sex specialist may earn maybe up to 60 or 75% of what his colleague in private will earn, because the structure is such that he gets to see patients in the government setting with full paying patients in the same setting. Then you have the subsidized patient and, of course, the patients who don't pay anything. So that structure has to be there, because you can't expect the government to fork out 50,000 or 60,000 ringgit per specialist to keep them. No way. That cannot happen. And in the restructuring process, they should look at their costing. Because I just mentioned earlier, the costing in a government hospital to maintain a government hospital is actually very expensive. If they can reduce the costing, which I think, in my opinion, maybe is doable. But the brain drain will happen because the disparity will always be there.
Are you then in favour of the introduction of a national health insurance program? And how do you see this problem being addressed with the introduction of a national health insurance program?
If there is a good national health insurance program, the best formula would be that even if the patient would see a doctor in the public hospital, the remuneration is the same.
So one area where the government has paid a fair bit of attention to is for healthcare travel industry in Malaysia, because we've become a major magnet for healthcare. In tabling the 2018 budget, the government actually allocated about 30 million ringgit as an incentive to boost the nation's healthcare travel industry. Do you view this as potentially accelerating the brain drain that we are currently facing?
Of course. If public hospitals' doctors feel that there is a good attraction to be in the private, there will be a brain drain, no doubt.
Okay, so how then do you think private healthcare providers can aid the government in increasing access to quality healthcare in rural areas, particularly in East Malaysia?
This comes down to dollars and cents. Unless the government comes out with some sort of incentive to private hospitals, subsidies, whereby the government tells the private hospital, you can open up one in a rural area, but we will fund it to some extent, then it's viable. But otherwise, if I'm a hospital operator, I'm not going to take the risk of opening a private centre where patients are not going to have the buying power.
The other area where the expenses start mounting is from the cost of medicines and cost of equipment. Now, the manner in which we purchase the medicine contributes to the higher cost of healthcare in Malaysia. So how do you see that being addressed as far as this new program is concerned?
I think they need to renegotiate some of the procurement contracts that they have. Sometimes there are probably different layers in between the vendors and the hospital where they have to need to relook. I think that is one of the reasons why there is some increase, enough to make the budget go beyond what they're supposed to do. So you probably, if you renegotiate, relook, I'm quite sure that it can be actually brought down.
Dato, thank you very much for joining us on The Breakfast Grill today. That was Dato Dr. Kuljit, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. I am Giri Balakrishnan for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.